And joining us now on the Fan Guest Line, powered by Gruber Law, he is the one and the only Peter Bukowski. And, man, your head of hair just gets – every time I see you, that head of hair just looks better and better and better.
It's so funny because I was gonna say, I want to know who picked this photo of you that they're using on the crawl on the bottom.
That was me.
Christmas with a Santa Claus beard. I didn't catch that it's like a Christmas sweater until you went to break. And I saw the full majesty of the sweater. That is an incredible ensemble, my friend.
So in a past life at one of the former stations I was at, five of us bought those sweaters and took like a holiday picture. And it's still one of the best pictures I've ever taken in my entire life. But I have no idea. Like, I saw that this morning. And I'm like, Charlie, how did that become? He's like, well, it was the clearest one on Google I could find of you. And I'll take it. I think that's a great picture. So for those of you who don't know, we are now live on YouTube. So at the Fan Milwaukee. Find us on YouTube, watch us on YouTube, watch the highlights, watch hour by hour, watch live, watch recorded, whatever you want to do. But we are bringing all the best in sports entertainment to you. Well, I did talk about WWE, so I had to mention sports entertainment. But we are getting it done here. Peter joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline. And I'm going to go right into offensive line because I am of the mind that Jordan Morgan is not going to be starting. I know that many people have predicted he is going to be starting because the team wants him to start. I think he is the odd man out. I think he's the sixth man. I think he does see some playing time, but I think he's not out there. What are you seeing from the offensive line so far in training camp?
I think I was very, I wouldn't say disconcerted, but I was interested to see how they handled early on this alleged competition with Jordan Morgan at left tackle. I found that weird because he hasn't competed at left tackle. So it's like, how can you be in a competition at left tackle by not playing left tackle? It was a very bizarre thing. He was rotating with Sean Ryan at right guard when Aaron Banks was out. He was playing left guard. So it's like, okay. I thought Ryan Gutekunst said in February he's going to compete. And Matt LaFleur said in the spring that he was going to compete. And then today is really the first day that he's been out there with the ones at left tackle for any real opportunities here once the pads have come on. So maybe this will change. Adam Stanovich said yesterday that that is part of the plan, that he will get a chance to compete here. I think at the very least, he will be part of the rotation. Remember, he started the year last year in a platoon with Sean Ryan. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine he will be anything less than that going into week one here. But I do worry about this, Mitch. Like, if they have a little bit too much, the phrase that I've been using is a little bit too much dip on their chip here with this. Like, he's playing left guard, he's playing right guard, he's going to get some time at left tackle. Like, can you just let him compete for a job? Like, if you want him to play, just let him compete with Sean Ryan and be the best right guard at practice. Moving him around so much is just, it's not fair to him if that's what you want out of him.
So, and Peter Bukowski, I think you're right on. And Peter joins us from The Leap and Locked On Sports and Locked On Packers. I think you're right, but I think what they want out of is I think they want him to be the sixth man at the end of the day. I think they want ultimate flexibility where no matter who gets hurt, whether it's for a series or a half or a game, and hopefully it's not more than that. We don't wish injury on anybody. But no matter who gets hurt, no matter where, Jordan Morgan can slide into a position, whether it's him to that position or him moving somebody else, where there's a seamless transition that he can slide in, where it's not him just competing with Sean Ryan for one position. It's the fact that no matter who gets hit, hurt, no matter when it happens, they are ready and they do not miss a beat moving him into that top five.
I mean, that there would certainly be value in that. But I think from a long-term perspective, Sean Ryan is a free agent at the end of this year. Rashid Walker is a free agent at the end of this year. They want Jordan Morgan to be the long-term starter at one of those positions. So why not give him that opportunity now? And then Anthony Belton, who they just used a second-round pick on, let him be your backup tackle. If Jordan Morgan wins the right guard job, you've got Sean Ryan to come in there and play. If there's an injury along the offensive line, he's getting reps at center as well. And if Jordan Morgan wins the left tackle job, same thing, only swap Rashid Walker with Anthony Belton. Now you've got two swing tackles that you can play. You don't just need one guy to be the do-it-all, fix-it guy. You have a number of players. This is, and I've been saying this all offseason, this is the deepest offensive line in the NFL. And it may not be the best offensive line in the NFL. I think Detroit, I think Philadelphia still have better offensive lines. I think there are a couple other, maybe you throw Denver in there, maybe Minnesota. But this is, there isn't another team that has 7-8 guys that they feel comfortable playing. I think there are 8 offensive linemen currently on this roster who would start for half the teams in the league. And that is a unique place for them to be.
It is. So big picture wise, my question then is, we're arguing over, or we're not arguing, we're discussing like over who should play at which position on the offensive line. We could. Does any of it really matter? Or as long as you have a really good offensive line, like that's protecting Jordan Love, that Josh Jacobs and the guys can run from, that gives the wide receivers time to get open, like as long as you have a really good offensive line, should we even care about who's playing which position? Just go out and be great.
Yeah, I mean, you're right insofar as I think they're going to be good no matter what. Like their 5 from last year was good. They were a top 10 offensive line last year by whatever metric you want. So that's fine. The question is, can they get better? And I think the theory is you move Elton Jenkins to center. He's an upgrade over Josh Myers. Immediately, they should be better, right? Like I think Aaron Banks, even though I thought they paid a little too much money for them, is a net upgrade because I think Jenkins is going to be that much better than Josh Myers, and Banks will be a better player at left guard than Myers was at center. So then the question is, can you get an upgrade on Rashid Walker? Can you get an upgrade on Sean Ryan? And then you could be like, if Jordan Morgan, let's say he starts at right guard, now maybe you go from the 8th or 9th best offensive line in the league to the 4th. Well, that's a material difference. And now Jordan Love has more time. Now the running game, there's more opportunities. Like Josh Jacobs was awesome last year with kind of mediocre run blocking. So if you could level up this offense again, like what was it that let the Packers down in the big games last year? It was the offense. And so if you can get the offensive line, it all starts up front. Get that offensive line a little bit better, and now you have a chance, I think, to move yourself into that true blue contender status in the NFC. So it matters the quality of the line. It only matters who is on it in as much as those guys serving as potential upgrades over last year.
Peter Bukowski joining us on Thunder at the Fair. Special programming today, tomorrow, and all of next week as we are at Wisconsin State Fair. Co-founder of The Leap, host of Locked On Packers. Find him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you and how excited should Packers fans be about Matthew Golden?
Oh, man. My listeners know that I was not a huge Matthew Golden fan in the pre-draft. I did not think he was a first-round quality player. And so when they took him in the first round, I went, okay, this is interesting. I thought if there was going to – I predicted they would take a receiver in the first round. I did not think it would be – I didn't think they were going to break a 25-year streak of not taking receivers with a guy 5'11", 190. I thought that seemed unlikely to me. But, I mean – by any standard, it seems like he's been one of the 5 most impressive players in training camp. And that is pretty exciting. I wrote about this the other day. We kind of don't know how to handle this in Packers Nation. Like media, fans, anybody, because like we just haven't seen them draft a player this talent. This is the most pedigreed receiver that they have drafted in a quarter century. And when Javon Walker was picked, that was when half the teams in college football were still running triple options. And so you weren't getting the same caliber of player right away. Right. So now you have these guys coming in more ready than ever to compete. And he's coming in right away and competing. I was trying to count. I think they've had 6 or 7 practices. And he has been the starter in team with the very first group, because they've come out in 12 personnel most of the time.
Right.
And more than half of those practices. Like that, like not Jaden Reed. It's been Romeo Doubs and Matthew Golden, not Dontayvion Wicks. It's been those two guys. And I think the Packers are telling us what they want from Matthew Golden this year. Same day highlight from the Packers social team yesterday, which we never see. And it was one of the Matthew Golden long touchdowns. Like the hype is kind of off the charts. And I'll be honest, I have never been more ready to take an L on a player after a week of training camp than I am with Matthew Golden in my pre-draft on him.
I love it. The Hortonville High School band is walking by right now. So that's the
I thought this was like the Oscars. Yeah. They were like, all right, he's said enough. Get him off.
You're getting played off. No, you're still with us for a couple more minutes. Don't worry about it, Peter. I'm like super anti power rankings or position rankings and that those sort of things. I think that's like all made up, you know, bananas, whatever. With that said, how important for the full optimal success of the team this year is the quarterback Jordan Love and him taking that step too? I mean, listen, it'd be great if he was the best quarterback in the league and a superstar, but how important is it for him to just be like a star and be really, really good this year?
So I saw this great stat yesterday that if you adjust for schedule, the only quarterback in the NFL that did not have a bad game last year by EPA generated was Jordan Love. The only quarterback to not have, and he had two games where he threw multiple interceptions. One was the Vikings game where he also threw four touchdowns and an interception went right off the hands of two of his players. Yep. And then the other one was the Texans game. He threw two picks. He also threw three touchdowns in that game. And as you recall, marched the team down the field in the fourth quarter like it was nothing against one of the best defenses in the league. The only two quarterbacks last year, Mitch, who had above average games against the defenses relative to average, right? More often than Jordan Love, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
I've heard
pretty good.
Yeah,
the MVP
okay.
and the runner-up, who a lot of people thought should have been the MVP, like one of the most contested MVP races in recent vintage. So
definitely,
he doesn't have to be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. He just needs to be consistent like that. And we've already seen him in the playoffs. He lit a top 10 Cowboys defense on fire in his playoff debut. We've seen him do that. So I can't hold last year too much against him, but I think if he can move into, like, everyone seems to agree the top three quarterbacks, top four quarterbacks, it's like Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. After that, there's a conversation. If he moves into that conversation in a real way, the Packers will be Super Bowl contenders. He doesn't have to be fifth. He doesn't have to be fourth. If he's seventh and he's eighth, this team is good enough. The defense is good enough. The playmakers are good enough. The coaching is good enough. They can be contenders this year.
Amazing. Peter Bukowski joining us, Locked On Packers and The Leap. And then finally, I'm gonna ask you an open-ended question. You can take this in any direction you want. On the defensive side of the ball, who is showing up for you so far? Again, knowing that it's not even August 1st yet, you know, it's been six or seven practices. Who on the defensive side of the ball are you keeping an extra eye on right now?
The obvious answer is Lucas Van Ness, because I think in order for this team to reach its ceiling, he needs to be a markedly better player than he was. And it seems like we just did an episode on Locked On Packers on where we led with this. He is checking the boxes. I said in maybe May, I said, if Lucas Van Ness is taking a step forward, we will know right away in camp. Like, if he can help the Packers this year, we will know right away. And if he can't, we will know right away. And it seems like he has taken that step, you know, winning one-on-ones against Rashid Walker, against Jordan Morgan, against guys that they want to be a meaningful part of this offensive line.
From your mouth to God's ears, Peter.
Seems to be making plays every practice. The other guy that I just want to shout out, because I don't want to have it go unnoticed. Xavier McKinney is, I know Packer fans are a little spurned by what happened with Devondre Campbell. He makes an all-pro team. You pay him and he stinks after that. Okay. I think Xavier McKinney has a chance. He may not have eight interceptions or whatever he had last year. I think he's going to be an all-pro again. He has been everywhere in practice. They're getting weirder with the way that they're using their defensive backs. They're mixing and matching, and they've got six guys who can play the slot. And I just think we're going to see a lot of weirdness from Jeff Hafley, and I think Xavier McKinney is going to be the beneficiary of it. He looks like he's ready to build on an all-pro season and say, hey, look, when we talk about the best safeties in the league, if you don't mention me, you're not really having that conversation.
And that's crazy to think about, right? Like, he's already all pro. And you're saying he could be even better. I'm here for it.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities at all. And he was the biggest reason last year that they were able to manage with the cornerbacks that they had. Teams were not throwing. Do you remember in the middle of the last year, he was like, I'm kind of annoyed because teams just stopped throwing at me.
Right.
Like, he's like, I want to play.
He had an interception every game. And then all of a sudden, like, he'd have no more interceptions. Nobody threw near him.
Like, yep. We're out. Yeah, we're out.
It's not worth it. Well, Peter, co-founder of The Leap, host of Locked On Packers, Peter Bukowski, I know you are a frequent contributor with our good friend Andy Herman and the Pack-A-Day radio show and the Pack-A-Day podcast. Thank you so much for jumping on today. I'm sure we'll grab you sometime in August as the roster takes shape, and we'll get you on the Mason Crosby show as well so you and Mace can go after it as well. And I really appreciate your time today.
All right. Thanks, guys.